2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, and we can't waste any time. We got to get out to the phone line and welcome on the head coach of the BYU basketball program. He is Mark Pope, and we appreciate you taking some time, Coach.
So happy to be with you guys.
Let's just start with this. So we're a little past the halfway point. Conference plays, I mean, it's been weird. You know better than anyone with the postponements, and you haven't played as many conference games as you thought you would at this point. So I'll just ask, where do you think the team is at right now, maybe in terms of comparing to where you thought they'd be at this point in the season?
I think I'm super proud of what they've accomplished so far. There's no doubt about it. I'm really pleased with where we are. I think we've grown a lot. I think we still have a huge ceiling ahead of us to chase. You know, our biggest challenge right now is kind of dealing with our energy in just kind of these weird times. It's the same challenge that every team is facing in one way or another. And I do think like we're uniquely suited to figure it out. But it's a challenge nonetheless, and we got a huge week ahead of us, and a lot of it's going to depend on our energy and our ability to kind of manage frustration.
Coach, the resume to this point has looked really good. I mean, the goal of creating a tough non-conference schedule, I think, has tested you guys. I mean, your three losses this season are to some of the best teams in college basketball. But, you know, that Gonzaga loss, was that just a byproduct of, okay, that's the best team in the country, we got to move on from that, that's an outlier, or was it the type of loss that you say that needs to lend itself to potentially changes going forward into this big weekend?
Well, we need to play better than we did against the Zags. You know, it is a mixed bag, right? Because they're really good. They're really long. They're incredibly athletic. They're really, really skilled. And you know, there's been nobody that's really been able to give them a game thus far, including three top 20 teams in the country. Right. So, but with that said, we also feel like every other team that's played them, like we just weren't ourselves. Like we didn't look like us. We didn't play like us. We didn't play with the urgency or intensity that we play with. And that's concerning. You know, I think there were some things that I wish I had done differently in the approach to the game. But, you know, we're learning. Like I said, this is a getting better every day process. And certainly we're hoping that we can grow from that game also.
Coach, another year where your depth is being tested because of injuries. It's part of the game, losing Gav and then Wyatt Lowell. And I'm curious, too, you know, I think maybe an injury that hasn't been as well documented that maybe fans aren't aware of, but he's battled through it quite a bit, is Connor Harding, who was battling a knee injury last year, PCL, I believe. Has he still kind of, you know, kind of working his way back to 100%? Where do you think Connor's at in his recovery back from a knee injury?
Yeah, Connor's like one of the toughest kids I've ever met. And so, you know, his hair could be on fire and he'd be like, I'm fine, I'm good. He's never going to let you know if he's hurting or if things are bothering him. And it's a beautiful thing about him. You know, listen, I do think he's worked incredibly hard in our training staff. Our performance team has really been dedicated all summer long and then through the course of the season to keep him as healthy as possible. But, you know, I don't know that anybody's 100% healthy at this point. And I would be shocked if Connor's not, you know, going home at night and nursing some discomfort. But that's who he is, and that's how he's going to be. And I'm grateful for it because he's a tough kid.
Few more moments here with the head coach of BYU basketball, Mark Pope, and I'm going to ask you a two-part question, even though I actually hate asking two-part questions, but I think it's I think they kind of tie together. Playing in a pandemic's got to be weird and unusual. What kind of challenges does the team face still trying to navigate the pandemic? And then along with that, do you think that there'll be any chance you guys play in front of fans this year?
Yeah. So. I've kind of talked about this a little bit, but I think that the worst thing you can have as an athlete or a team is a ready-made excuse. It is like a cancer, right? And this COVID thing for every team in America, every player in America is just sitting there just begging you when things get really hard or when your body gets beat down or when emotionally and mentally you're just exhausted. It just is begging for you to grab onto it. It's an excuse available to every single player and every single team in college basketball. And I think that's the biggest challenge of playing this right now. I really do. I mean, yes, the weird schedule. Yes, you know, they're having games canceled, like when you're in on the plane, right? Having put it fully installed, you know, a couple weeks ago, we did full installs on two different games and both of them got canceled at the last second. You know, there's an emotional cost to all that, but at the end of the day, there is a leading problem with COVID and challenge for every single team and every single player. And that's to like refuse to grab onto it as an excuse. Our guys have done an unbelievable job of turning that excuse down this far in the season. We have to continue. You know, it's going to get harder. You know, we'll have some situations where we don't think it's going to work. Where we're really, really frustrated, right? Where people are questioning us. And in those moments, the question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to reach out for that ready-made excuse, or are we going to refuse to and kind of fight through it? That's the biggest challenge. In terms of having fans in the stands, man, I hope we do. You know, we've had two games. We played at Utah State and had a couple thousand fans in the stands that hate us. And it was so fantastic. I mean, it was just so fantastic. It just reminded you just a little bit how much you miss it. And that was just a couple thousand fans in the stands. And then we got to play a game at Vivint against Weber where there are some fans in the stands just socially distancing. And those are the, you know, it just makes it so much better. So I don't know if it'll happen. We sure do miss the fans. There's no doubt about it.
Coach, we obviously all know that you're a relentless head coach. You're all you're into the grind, you know, working your tail off to get this team to the heights that they strive for. But I don't think many people knew that you were officiating weddings. We saw it on the national broadcast against Gonzaga that you officiated the wedding for Colby Lee. How did that come to be? What's the process to become a guy that's officiating weddings? When did you have the time to do that?
Well, I've actually got to officiate two weddings. So Kenneth Ogby, who played for me at Utah Valley, is now a pro at Alba Berlin in Germany, one of the top teams in Europe. I got to officiate at his wedding to Jordan. Just two incredible human beings. I don't know. That was maybe two summers ago. And then I got to officiate at Kobe and Kayla's wedding, which was really special. I mean, it's, you know, to see these young people, you know, the one thing about having the honor of being a coach is that these young men, you know, let you into their lives, not just the part that, you know, they want to report to the media, but also the struggles that they're going through emotionally, just the day-to-day self-doubts and worries and frustrations and the dreams they're chasing that are unfolding positive and negative in real time in their lives. And then these huge decisions they're making. And it's Colby Lee is a beautiful human being. His wife Kayla is awesome. She's playing for the women's team, so I was really blessed to be able to witness that that event. It's pretty awesome.
He is Mark Pope, head coach of the BYU basketball team. We'll let you go. Good luck as we get into the meat of WCC play, and we're looking forward to watching how the team continues to improve as we get into the thick of things. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. You guys are awesome.
All right, that was the head coach of BYU basketball, Mark Pope. Some interesting comments there. I loved his perspective about how the team is handling the pandemic and how every team, Mitch, and he's right, every team has that opportunity to say, there's no fans, the pandemic, it's hard. And he's had to fight against that and get his guys to buy in, and there's no doubt about it that this team has done absolutely that, and there's no better evidence of that as the St. Mary's game, where 10 minutes in, they're down 7, they have 43 points, you know, things aren't going their way, and they fight. They go in that 16-0 run to take a big lead, and then here they are with an opportunity now against San Francisco. Just great insight there from Coach Pope.
Yeah, it really was, and Pope is always a guy that he'll give you a great answer, and the thing is, he's usually, what he's saying is how he's truly feeling, and he's going to make the adjustments necessary to always make his team better. I mean, I think that a lot of us on the outside look at the challenge of going up against Gonzaga as unthinkable and just basically concede to being the number two team, but that's not the approach he's taking. He still believes this team can achieve a lot more, and I think it's taken a little bit longer than any of us expected to bring all these pieces together on this roster, and I think also the injury to Gavin Baxter was a little bit more significant than any of us thought, too. So they've had to adjust on the fly, and you hope now that those adjustments to this point and getting that win at St. Mary's are going to turn the corner for this team to where they can get on that heater of sorts like they did last season, because that 9-game winning streak a year ago was what catapulted them to what many thought would be a 5 or 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. So I'm very confident and optimistic about Pope and what he can do with this program and getting it to heights that I think the program hasn't seen in many decades.
All right, we'll take a break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, we'll switch gears and talk a little BYU football. They've got some coaching vacancies now that Jeff Grimes and Eric Mateos have taken off to Baylor. We'll talk about that and much more as we have tons to go here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Don't go anywhere. More to go here on KSL News Radio. It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.